Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and today we invite you in for the continuation of this excellent teaching series centered on our study guide called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, which is, of course, based on Bob's book of the same title. If you don't have a copy of the book or the study guide, you can go online to basicgospel.net and click the Simple Gospel book link on the right-hand side of the homepage. You'll find them both there. But for right now, it's time to get underway with our study edition through Basic Gospel's study guide. And here to do that is my friend, Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. We are in our Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. We're in Chapter 6. It is finished. So we've divided this book up into three sections. The first part, the first five chapters, talk about life, the fact that Jesus Christ came that we might have life. But before he could give us life, he had to deal with the thing that killed us, and that was sin. And this is what the second part of the book is all about, the forgiveness of sins that we now have in Christ Jesus. And once we really rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, once we really understand that our sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future, then we're free to actually experience the life that we have to the full. Yeah. Oftentimes, this wondering that we have, this confusion, this guilt, this shame, this fear, all of these things that we experience become obstacles for us. Why? Because we haven't finalized the cross in our lives. We say the words with Jesus, "It is finished," but we really haven't finalized it in our lives. We haven't come to that point and really said, "Lord, I truly believe that you have forgiven all of my sins, that your sacrifice on the cross took care of every single one, that you did not leave a single one undealt with."
Right.
And when you come to that point, then you're free. All the obstacles have been removed in your own mind and your own attitudes, and you're free to really take hold of this life that you have in Christ Jesus. So we're going to spend all the time that we need to work through this second part of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, so that you can come to a point and know that you know that you know that your sins have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we're going to pick up on page 45 in the study guide. We ended last week with a passage out of John's Gospel. John the Baptist looks and sees Jesus, and he describes him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So what did Jesus do for us at the cross? He took away our sins once and for all. The Old Testament, those sacrifices, the blood of bulls and goats, covered sins. They just covered them over. They did not take those sins away. Only the blood of Jesus Christ could do that. And he's removed those sins as far from us as the east is from the west. So Jesus Christ is that Lamb of God. He hung on a cross. He hung on that cross for 6 hours. At noon, the sky darkened. It was the darkest moment in human history when Jesus Christ was suffering the agony of that death. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he cried out, "It is finished." And he gave up his spirit into the hands of God the Father. So when he cried out, "It is finished," that's exactly what he meant. The sin issue had been dealt with once and for all. It was never going to be dealt with again.
Yeah.
So what does that mean to you and me? It means that our sins, past, present, and future, have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, Peter had an opportunity to preach the gospel message, the first person to preach the gospel message to a Gentile audience, a Gentile congregation. So in the book of Acts, we see a progression. We see Peter proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ first to the Jews on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 believed and were added, 3,000 men believed and were added to the body of Christ that day. They received the gift of God's Spirit and forgiveness of sins. In Acts chapter 8, we see that the message had gotten to the Samaritans, And Peter and John were called to confirm that, and so they filled out the gospel story to them, and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts chapter 10, we see Peter being summoned to the house of Cornelius in the seaside town of Caesarea. Yeah. Now, this is where Pilate lived, and they've actually excavated, and it's just a beautiful place, one of the most beautiful places you will see in all of Israel. And you can see what that city and town was all about with all the things that they have uncovered. But one of those things that they have uncovered is something that had an inscription with Pilate's name. So they know Pontius Pilate was there. That's where he lived, just as the Bible declares. So this is where Peter went. There were Roman centurions there. Cornelius was one. He was a faithful man. He feared God. And Peter went into Cornelius's house, which was something forbidden as far as the Jews were concerned. They weren't supposed to go into a Gentile's house. Why? Because in doing so, it would defile them. Yeah. And then they would have to go through some ritual cleansing and all of those sort of things. And they would be outside of the assembly of the Jews. Mm-hmm. So it was a law that prohibited them from doing it. But Peter, at this point in his life, was operating on a higher law. He was not operating on the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments. He was operating on a higher law, the higher law being the law of love. Yeah. He was compelled by the love of God to walk up those steps and enter into Cornelius's house. And Cornelius said, "You're here, speak to us." And Peter was like, "Well, what do you want me to tell you?" And he said, "Well, we're just open. You share whatever is on your heart," basically. Mm-hmm. And so Peter started talking to them about Jesus Christ, about his death, his burial, his resurrection. And at the end of it, he basically gives an invitation or makes a declaration. And it's in Acts 10:43. And here's what Peter said to Cornelius and his household. He said, "All the prophets testify about him." Who's the him? It's Jesus Christ. Yeah. So all the prophets, the major prophets, the minor prophets, all of them in the Old Testament testified about Jesus Christ. The law testified about Jesus Christ. The writings, the wisdom literature testified about Jesus Christ. So he said, all of those prophets testified about him, that everyone who believes in him, Jesus, receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So what was the declaration? What was the truth? Anyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins. So when you hear the good news of Jesus, and that's what Peter proclaimed to Cornelius and his household, the good news concerning Jesus. He talked about the death of Christ and the fact that he was crucified, that he bore our sins in his body. He talked about the fact that he was buried and that on the third day he was raised back to life and that he was both Lord and God. That's what Peter proclaimed to these Gentiles, to this Gentile household. And then he said, if you believe this Jesus and you believe this gospel story about Jesus, then you will receive forgiveness of sins through his name. Now, this wasn't just limited to Cornelius and his household. This is a declaration for all people.
Sure, absolutely.
This is a truth for all. Anyone who believes in Jesus, whether Jew or Gentile, Samaritan, whatever you want to say, whoever it is who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins and receives the gift of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So what did you receive when you believed in Jesus Christ? You received forgiveness of sins. Now, was that forgiveness merely for sins that you had already committed? Or was it forgiveness of sins for everything that you would ever do in your life, every sin that you would commit in your life. Well, Peter didn't specify. So you assume in reading this and going through what Peter was saying that this is what you receive, forgiveness of sins. Mm-hmm. So tomorrow, if you sin, you've already received forgiveness for that sin.
Right.
10 days from now, a month from now, next year, when you sin, it's already been dealt with. It's already been handled by Jesus Christ, by his shed blood on the cross. And you have already received the forgiveness that you needed mm-hmm. for that particular sin.
Yeah.
So when you believe, you receive forgiveness of sins.
Absolutely.
That's good news.
That is good news, Bob. Thank you for sharing that. Well, we're working through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. If you don't have your copy and if you don't have the book, well, we want you to have both. So we encourage you to go online to basicgospel.net. Click the book link right over on the right-hand side of our homepage at basicgospel.net and get your copies of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace and the study guide that we're moving through on each of these Friday teaching editions. Also remember, friends, that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry, and we appreciate every one of you who has given to ensure that we're able to continue broadcasting and streaming the truth of God's love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as you're able, please visit basicgospel.net and join us in supporting Basic Gospel. We're at the end of the month, of course, and only tomorrow, or today and tomorrow, we want to say thank you for supporting Basic Gospel by sending you a copy of Bob's CD messages, Against the Current. Again, you can make your gift at basicgospel.net, and when you do, be sure to request your copy of Against the Current. Now back to our study, and here again is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. So when you receive Christ, you receive forgiveness of sins, and that's just not for sins that you've committed up to that point in time. This is for all sins. Paul makes this point clear in the book of Colossians, in his letter to the Colossians. And I posted today on our Facebook page that Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 through 15 is my favorite passage in the Word of God. My favorite verse in the Word of God is John 17:3, which is a definition of eternal life. But my favorite passage is this one in Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 through 13. And it's the passage that God used to really open my eyes to see the fullness of the gospel message, that it was more than just the death of Christ. It was the burial, the resurrection, and that the fact that when I received him, I not only received forgiveness of sins, but I was made alive mm-hmm. together with Christ. But here in verse 13, we see a very clear declaration that this forgiveness that we have in Christ is for all sins. Yeah. It's not just for past sins. It's not just for present sins. It is for past, present, and future. And here's what Paul said. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. So that's the story of salvation. Your problem was the fact that you were dead in trespasses and sins. When you believed the good news of Jesus Christ, you were made alive together with Christ. You've crossed over from death to life. You've been raised to walk in the newness of life. And then he goes on to say, and he forgave us all our sins. Yeah. So it was necessary for God to do something with the sin issue before he could offer us life. And that's what he did through the blood of Jesus Christ. And in Jesus shedding that blood, God gives us forgiveness of sins. And that forgiveness is for all sins. So we have this question, how many of your sins did Jesus forgive according to this verse? Well, it says all. Well, what does the word all mean to you? Does all include sins you are yet to commit? And the answer to that is absolutely yes. All means all. It means past, present, and future. Now, if your future sins were not included, and there are a lot of people that believe that, that future sins weren't included in this, and that when we sin in the future as believers, we have to do something to get more forgiveness at that point in time. Well, Hebrews 9:22 tells us what would be necessary if we needed more forgiveness. Now, this is a passage that we've already read, and it's a passage that we will revisit again in the future. Why? Because it's just that important.
Right.
It is a powerful truth that we all need to grab hold of. And here's what Hebrews 9:22 says. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So if Jesus' blood on the cross only covered a certain portion of sins, then those sins it didn't cover or didn't take away, if those are to be forgiven, what has to happen according to this passage? Well, blood needs to be shed. Jesus would have to die again. That's what this passage is saying.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to come to grips with the truth that Jesus' blood was sufficient to take away all sins.
Yeah.
You know, how many of our sins were in the future when Christ died? All of them.
A good many of them.
Yeah, that's
sure.
Right. That's right. So that's been being said from this ministry for years and years and years and years and years.
Certainly.
But it's true. Jesus looked down the corridor of time and he saw you and he saw everything that you were going to do from the moment you came into this world to your last breath. And he looked at every single sin. He saw it. He knows exactly what it is. And he's already taken that from you and bore it in his body. And he died in your place. He shed his blood. So the blood has been shed. So you have forgiveness of sins, not just for some sins, but for all sins, past, present, and future. Now, Hebrews chapter 9, we go on a little further, and we're going to see that this blood that Jesus shed on our behalf was once and for all.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just look at Hebrews 9:24 all the way through verse 26. Here's what the writer of Hebrews had to say. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. So there was a temple in Jerusalem, and that temple was built to certain specifications, just like the tabernacle that Moses built was built to certain specifications. It was a replica of the heavenly sanctuary. So Christ didn't enter that temple. He didn't enter that temple in Jerusalem, that man-made building. He entered the one not made with human hands. It was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in Christ, in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. He entered this holy place once.
Right.
And that was going to be enough. That was going to be sufficient. It was not like what the high priest would do. Year after year after year after year after year, they would enter into that Holy of Holies, taking first blood to cover their sins, and then they would take blood from the goat and sprinkle that on the mercy seat for the sins of the people. And that was an annual reminder of their sins, mm-hmm. that the debt had yet to be paid in full.
Yeah.
And then the next year came along, and the priest went in again. And they did that every day of atonement for 1,500 years. That's a long time.
Yeah.
And all of that blood was spilled. None of it could take away the sins of the people.
Yeah.
But when Christ entered heaven, he didn't offer himself again and again and again. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. So what did Christ do? He did away with sin once and for all. That's how big, that's how powerful, that is how worthy the blood of Jesus Christ is, how yeah. valuable the blood of Jesus Christ is. It was big enough to take away your sins, and it was big enough to take away the sins of the entire world. Bob, you know, there's so many of us that when we look at our lives, we just think we've sinned so much that we've put ourselves beyond the reach of God. And we think, oh, we've just committed thousands and thousands and thousands of sins. Well, here's a truth that we need to realize. Here's a truth that we need to understand. Jesus took every one of your sins, whether it was 1,000, whether it was 1,000,000, and he took those sins and he put them on himself. But not only did he take your sins, he's taken the sins of everyone else and placed them on himself. And God the Father was satisfied with the work of Christ regarding the sins of the entire world. There's not a single person whose sins were not dealt with at that cross. There's not a single person who could not call upon the name of the Lord and be saved and receive forgiveness of sins. That's the good news.
That is good news.
So you may think you've outsinned the grace of God. You may think you've put yourself out of reach of God's forgiveness and mercy. But let me tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ was sufficient. He looked down the corridor of time. He saw every single sin, and he dealt with it. He did away with it once and for all. And so when you receive Jesus Christ, guess what? You receive forgiveness of sins. Now, in verse 28 of this particular chapter, chapter 9, he goes on to say this. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him.
I love that.
So Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, just as the prophets testified, just as the prophets wrote. He entered our world at the right time. He inhabited a body that God had prepared for him. He lived his life in dependency upon the Father to perfection. And when it was time for him to offer that body as a sacrifice, he did so, not by his will, but by the will of his Father. He took upon himself the sins of the world. He carried out the will of the Father for you and for me. And he bore those sins once and for all, and he's coming back a second time. But when he comes back a second time, he's not going to deal with sin, but he's coming to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. So when you go before God, when you stand before God on that day of judgment, he's not going to blare all of your sins up on a video screen yeah. for all of creation to see. No, he's dealt with the sin issue once and for all. He's never going to deal with it again. So when he comes back, that's something that you can look forward to. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you know he's coming to get you so that you can be with him forever. So, folks, this is good news. John kind of really nailed it in his first letter. He said this, "I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name." Folks, you are a forgiven person in Christ Jesus. All of your sins, past, present, and future, have been taken away once and for all.
Once and for all. Thank you, Bob. Great, great insight, and thank you for putting this all together. And friends, thank you for being with us for the study edition of Basic Gospel from the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, a study guide. Keep in mind, too, that we need your partnership to keep the good news of God's love and grace in Jesus Christ on the air and online. Please donate today at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, a big prominent link right on the homepage. at basicgospel.net. It's vital that we have your support to ensure that the message remains available for everyone. And when you make your gift between now and the end of the month, which is just coming up tomorrow midnight, well, we encourage you to ask for your copy of Against the Current. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. And, of course, join Bob online Sunday morning for Sunday Morning Live here at Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.